Good evening.
Good evening.
So you see I have Romans 1:16 up there on the board. I would like a show of hands of anyone. If this was you, please raise your hand. That's it? Now, if it is you, I want you to take a look around and take a look at everybody else's hands, if you would. Just keep your hands up. This is everybody who says that they are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So if you raise your hand, why don't you say it? You know how encouraging it is to see all those hands raised saying, I'm not ashamed, and then to hear it? It reminds me of what Paul said to Timothy. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Tonight, I want to share with you some of the examples that I have found in the Bible that encourages me to be unashamed in different situations. I know that Jerry has said before that you should give a lesson on what you need at that time, and this is it for me. Tonight, I want to talk about how you would be unashamed even when you're by yourself. The first example I have is with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, after the Israelites were taken into captivity, King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image that the entire nation was ordered to worship. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow to this golden image. In fact, some of the Chaldeans went and told the king that, hey, these guys are not bowing. You need to make an example of them. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The next example I have is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a called prophet for God to prophesy about the destruction of Israel. And God's warning was rejected by Israel. And Jeremiah was persecuted and hated. And he said, O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak of his name any more. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. The last example for when being unashamed for by yourself is Stephen. Stephen was a godly man who was wrongly accused of blasphemy. So he was arrested, and he had to stand in front of the council to defend himself. When Stephen was talking, instead of pleading for mercy, he was talking about the patriarchs, about how God delivered them out of bondage through Moses, and then Israel rebelling against God with a golden calf, and Israel persecuting and killing the prophets. And in Acts, or yeah, in Acts, when they said, he said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of their city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge him with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I know there's many other examples that I could have chosen for this, but these three helps me to see that even though if I'm faced with a lot of trouble, that I can stand up and do what's right instead of trying to follow along with what everybody else is doing. The next slide I have is being unashamed amongst your friends. First example I have is David. Now, David, at this point in 1 Samuel, they were having a battle. The Israelites were having a battle with the Philistines. And Goliath was mocking Israel, and Israel was running away, being afraid. And David came to visit his brothers to give them provisions and to get a report on how they were doing. And then David heard Goliath's challenge. And then David spoke to the man who stood by him and said, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So, this message got to Saul's ears, and Saul wanted to speak to David. Now, the words which David spoke were heard. They reported them to Saul, and he sent for them, or sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. For if you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." My next example is Peter and John. Peter and John were arrested for healing a lame man. So they had to stand in front of the Sanhedrin, and instead of begging for mercy, like Stephen might have done, but didn't do, they decided they were going to preach. And after that, the name of Jesus was forbidden, and Peter and John were severely threatened. And then being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God." And then they proceeded to have a prayer for boldness for Peter and John. I just like these examples because it shows me that sometimes we need to be the leader in our group of friends. Sometimes people are looking up to me in order to gain strength. The last set of examples I have is to be unashamed with your family or your close relationships. And I don't think I could have went through the night without talking about Joshua. Israel basically rejected God and were taking up idols and worshiping false idols. And God was speaking through Joshua about what God has done, about bringing them out of Egypt and out of bondage. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, or in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now the next example should hit home for a lot of you, because it's you. I saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it says, "Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife, but to the rest I say, not the Lord say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the believer departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace." And here's the part that really speaks to me. "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" To me, this says, sometimes our actions are someone else's Bible. So we have to live unashamed for Christ, because how do you know whether you'll save your friend, your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband? In Matthew 5, we are called to be the light of the world. Is your Bible worth reading? Jesse and I wrote a story when we were younger, and it was pretty good story, because we thought we knew what we were doing. We were going to write a novel and make $1 million. And so we started writing, and this took us an hour to write. And It was about a evil mountain, and the hero of the story carried a big, giant battle axe. Well, after the hour was done, and we did full-page illustrations, and wrote the entire novel that we were going to make $1 million on, we reread it, and then we said, maybe no one wants to read this. So, you know what we did? We just ripped it out of our book, all 4 pages. Because we didn't want anybody to read it. I mean, it wasn't that good. But all jokes aside, maybe you're ashamed of something that you've done in the past, and you don't even think that you deserve God's help, and you don't want other people to read it. But here's some good news. Jesus came for the sick. He came for the weak. And he came for the poor. You have the choice tonight whether to carry your past on your shoulders or start over. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, where it says, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What does that mean for us? It means what sin? What offense? I think we can be unashamed of that. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to be baptized into Christ and become a new creature. Start over with a blank page. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And if you are a Christian and you've fallen away, remember what it says in Romans 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism in death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We need to wake up every single morning and remember that we have been saved by grace, and that we should live unashamed for the gospel of Christ. For why? Why? Because we're not ashamed, for it is the power of God's salvation. I would like to ask you to take this opportunity now and come forward and let us assist you as together we stand and sing.
Jesus, say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken thy loving call to obey. Come early, love you so. Only a step, come for he blessed.